Knowing What You Want and How to Discover It, with special guest Amy Gubser.
Careers Upstairs dedicates this podcast to professionals who want to advance their careers.
Hello, everyone. This is John Leggett for Careers Upstairs. Millions of Americans live their lives not discovering what they really want to do for a living, even when they are employed. But not having a clear idea of what they want can mean being locked into a job they discover they dislike. We are delighted to have career coach and certified resume writer Amy Gubser, president of Career Launch USA, speak with us about the benefits of knowing what you want and how to discover it. Amy will also talk about career assessments and how they can help you with your job search. Hi, Amy. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Amy, in today's tough job market, it seems to me that more than ever, job seekers are willing to accept the first job offer that comes along, even though they don't particularly care for the work, because they need the money. That's a high price for survival.
You know, that's interesting because when I get clients and am talking with them about their clarity and where they're going, two things come up, and that is, who are you and what do you really want out of life? And so many times they don't even know where to begin. And I take them through the career development process, which is three steps. First is self-assessment. Second is career exploration. And third is the job search. But here's what happens. Unfortunately, most people try to shortcut the process by skipping important steps one and two and going directly to three and sending out random resumes to jobs where they lack the interest or qualifications.
Okay, well, what would you say to our listeners about the benefits of career planning? And tell us what career planning tools are available to help them figure out who they are and what they want to do.
Well, the first thing I try to do is really get them thinking about themselves and where they have come from in their career. And I usually start by asking some questions to try to uncover that. So I will ask them, like, do you know what others would say is your biggest strength? Can you state your top strengths? Do you know your biggest weakness? Are you able to talk about your top five most relative and standout attributes using adjectives that describe you? That's where I start the client thinking about, do I really know who I am and where I'm going so that I align myself with the right qualifications in my job? And if a lot of times they are floundering, even if they can't answer all five of those questions, then I say it's time for us to look at some assessments for their career. And I have four, and John, I know you have one as well. I'm going to read off what I have, but some of the career assessments that I find beneficial have been career liftoff interest inventory, the Myers-Briggs type indicator, the skill scan career driver, and ONET work importance profiler. And what I find is whatever one is best suited for the client, that is what I usually have them take. It's an online assessment, and it gives a lot of information. And I always say to people, this is the one chance you have to really step back and assess yourself and look for those strengths that you have. Channel those strengths in the right direction. Any of these inventories will provide a wealth of information for the client so that they can get clarity in their job search and be able to go after the right job for them based on their interests and their qualifications.
All right. So how do people access these assessments and how much do they cost?
That's a good question. On some of these are around $50 or less. With the Myers-Briggs type indicator, there are qualified, certified practitioners that will actually set up the test. Usually it's, in my case, this is the one I do with my clients, and it's set up online. They can take it whenever they want to. The feedback comes to me, and they receive a personal inventory and interpretation. And that can take up to an hour to talk over with the client. I like that from the standpoint it really targets that particular client and what their strengths are. So again, it has a lot of high validity and reliability, but definitely any one of these would serve the purpose.
Amy, would you describe the MBTI?
Absolutely. On the MBTI, there are 93 questions that the individual answers online at their own discretion of time. And they can even stop midpoint in doing that career assessment and come back to it. But I always tell people, set aside the 25 minutes, go ahead and take it, and make sure it's the first thing that comes to mind. Whatever comes first to mind, that's the one that's most like you. If you try to outguess it, if you try to outdo it, it won't represent truly who you are. So I think a lot of people don't think they need the assessment sometimes because they think they know who they are. However, when you begin asking them all the questions about what are your strengths and, you know, what are your attributes, and you start going down that list of questions and they're not able to answer, then that's a clear sign that something like a career assessment would set them more on the right track. But they have to be ready for it.
How long does it take to go through the entire assessment process?
For the clients I work with, we can start right away with the assessment. Sometimes the same day they sign up, we get the assessment rolling along. The interpretation and their personal report is done within sometimes days. And then that sets the clarity, and then they're ready to move forward with the job search because they have more clarity about what they want. So it could just take up to a day. They would take the online version, and then 2 days later, or depending on my availability, we would have the interpretation done within, you know, 3 days.
Okay, that's reasonable. Next question. Earlier, you suggested that sometimes people shortcut their career development by not taking the time to discover their strengths and preferences. So what should they expect if they shortcut the process?
Here's what happens. It's unwise of them to do that because where they find themselves in trouble is in the interview. Or worse, they wind up unhappy in another job or career that is not congruent with who they are. So they're in these unsatisfying roles, and often they just have not set the time aside to discover their identity, their skills, their values, and their interests. So that's where they find out. That's when that's where the light goes off, and they're sitting there in that interview, and they're going, I don't know if I'm going to like this, but if I take it, and I remind them, if they take something that is not aligned with their skills and their values and their interests, the first day of that new job, they're going to be looking for another job.
You know, according to an annual job satisfaction survey conducted for the Conference Board, only 45% of American workers said they were satisfied with their jobs. 45%. I find that staggering. I imagine that if more people did some kind of career assessment, such as the MBTI, those job satisfaction numbers would be higher.
And I can only speak to the clients that I've had, but the ones that have gone through it, and yes, there have been skeptics, have been amazed. Once they open their mind to it and they let this information come in and they have time to reflect on it, it's amazing what kind of momentum they all of a sudden get because there's clarity in their life and they know what kind of job is best suited for them. I always say it's like the best fitting suit jacket you can find. If yours is very big and the sleeves are too long, then you're probably in the wrong job or position. But if it fits like a glove, I mean, it's just like a tailor made it for you, then you are in the right position or job that you're looking for. We have internal checking going on all the time. I always say this is an internal barometer in us that says, that feels like sandpaper. That job sounds like something that I just every day, every morning when I put my feet on the floor, I'm coming to this job. If it feels like sandpaper, it probably is. So sometimes we have to listen to those sounds that are alerting us to that's something I don't like. And that's if someone's taken the MBTI or any career assessment. That is something that if they slow down and get quiet enough, they'll understand and hear.
Are you familiar with StrengthFinder? And how valid are those results?
I really like StrengthFinder. It's a great, quick way to get a handle on what your strengths are, give you different action steps to take to go after those strengths and use them. And they also talk about the blind spots and areas that they just need to watch out for and be aware of based on their strengths. And an example for that is if somebody's a real extrovert and they're in meetings, they've got to be aware of that. Maybe they're someone that can dominate a conversation because they just are comfortable with people. Then the blind spot for them may be hold back a little bit, make sure everybody in the room is getting an opportunity to talk about what that issue is. So it's very specific in StrengthFinder of things you can actually implement right away. And I like it for bringing out some of the strengths, but I also use it when I'm doing their LinkedIn profile development.
Okay, I can see where knowing your strengths would be very helpful when writing your bio. So where else can you use that information?
Once they have this information, it is their lifelong career tool. That's why I say for whatever the price point is for you, find one, do it, and then make sure you are always looking at your strengths. In an interview situation, you might be more of an extrovert talking to an introvert. The point is you want a ping pong ball match back and forth. You don't want to dominate the conversation if you're an extrovert. There's opportunities for you to really listen, and that is pull back and take a few breaths and listen to what the introverter, if that is the case, who's interviewing you, what kind of information are they giving you that you can align with what your skills are and give that back to them. It's invaluable, and it is something you take with you forever in terms of how you deal with people and situations. It is really the key that unlocks all the mystery.
How do the results of these assessments help people in managing stress?
I think it gives everybody a sigh of relief that a lot of people deep down know what their strengths are and who they are. But somehow when we take this personality test and this career assessment that helps us get on the right path, it confirms things that we know about ourselves. Even when I'm meeting with clients, after a very short time, I can tell if they're an introvert or an extrovert. I can tell different things about their personality. I ask them questions to try to better understand them. And usually I have a pretty good handle on what type they might be in a Myers-Briggs. If they are an introvert or an extrovert, how could I tell that? And I ask them questions that, again, it's like peeling back the layers of an onion and you just keep going until you get to the core. And people really get it once they've done these career assessments. And they're really glad they did because this is what steers the entire job search.
Do the results of your personal assessments become less valid over time? I mean, as we go through life and gain experiences that shape us, perhaps we change enough to justify retaking a personal assessment. For example, let's say I took the MBTI when I was 20 years old. Would the results be the same as when I'm 45?
It's an interesting question. I get that a lot. And I will tell people, if they feel that type isn't quite where they are now, say 20 years later, I tell them that's okay. Most of the time, it will not change in the MBTI. But I often, when I have a client that says, I just want to be sure, I always say absolutely, and let's go and do it. There might be one letter in their type that isn't quite them, and then it flushes out when they take it again. Again, a lot more maturity, a lot more experiences that they've had. So this just, again, reinforces their direction. So if there's any hesitancy at all, we retake.
Would you say that employers would be interested in candidates' assessment results?
Oh, I definitely see that because what employers are doing, and there's a lot of them out there that are doing this, they're using their own assessments. You know, different ones, even from what I've read here, are used when actually making candidate selections to make sure that they're the type of personality and person that they're looking for that particular position.
What is the relationship between awareness of your strengths and your satisfaction on the job?
If you have someone that's come through and taken a career assessment and it's properly been interpreted to that particular person, I definitely think there's more confidence, I think there's more success, and I think there's more alignment with their position at the employer just based on the fact they know who they are. Because I really believe when we know who we are, we have clarity and we're able to move forward in a much better momentum than if we don't have clarity and we're moving at just doing things randomly.
Yes, and that speaks to the power of having a strong personal brand.
Absolutely. You know, John, I was on the fringe of this personal branding statement a few years ago. And as I've done more branding with my clients, I brand everything from the college grad up through the CEO level.
What tools do you use for personal branding?
I use the StrengthsFinder. It takes practice of getting to know that client, and over time, usually the brand evolves. They need to have a very well-written resume with cover letter because their branding is going to go on everything from how they answer the phone to their LinkedIn profile. Everything they do is branded, and that brand is repeated over and over in all documents and anything they touch or say.
Well, Amy, could you give us your final advice on this topic of knowing what you want and how to discover it?
I'd say that remember, finding your ideal job is one of the most difficult challenges in adulthood and clearly not a situation that can be solved quickly. But if you take time to do the self-assessment and get the right level of commitment, you will be ready to move into the stage of career exploration and get greater clarity so you know your direction for your job search and what job and positions that best align with your strengths.
That's great. Thank you very much, Amy. We appreciate your time today.
For me, John, to talk on this topic is something that's near and dear to my heart. And I just want to thank you and Edka for inviting me to be a part of this podcast.
Amy, it's been our pleasure. And to our listeners, if you have a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to cover, please drop us a line at experts@careersupstairs.com. We'll do our best to accommodate your request. This is John Leggett for Careers Upstairs. Thanks for listening.
This podcast was produced by Careers Upstairs, the leading employment consultancy in aviation. For more information about how you can advance your career in aviation, visit our website at careersupstairs.com. Careers Upstairs. Going up?